A little bit different of a show today, kind of undescribable, undefinable, which I think pays perfect homage, perfect honor to the topic at hand, remembering Norm MacDonald.
One goo, three, yeah!
Mac and goo!
Jaws 3!
Mac and goo!
King of Queens!
Mac and goo!
Meryl Streep!
Mac goo!
Entertainment!
I'm Goo!
And I am Mac!
And we are the Mac and Goo program. Generally, we bring you friendship, and I guess today we're doing the same because... you know what the best kind of ship is?
There are a lot of ships that are very valuable, right? Like you probably think a golden ship was valuable, right?
This was already a terrible saying. This is...
no, a solid gold ship.
Yes, okay. There are a lot of ships out there.
You would think a solid gold ship would be very valuable.
Uh-huh.
Or a solid platinum ship.
Yes,
A ship made only of diamonds. I don't know if it would float. I don't know. But, you know, you would think that would be your most valuable ship. But you know what, sir? It is not. You know what your most valuable ship is?
What is that?
Friendship.
I hope you guys are ready for a full, I don't know how long this episode's going to be, but of that. Because we are remembering Norm MacDonald, and I think for me, one of my most iconic comedians, not only just for his stand-up, but for his conversational skills.
Yeah. First of all, in your open there, I appreciate you saying homage, not homage. Some people actually think the words homage.
I feel like Norm would have said homage and then stared directly at the camera.
I say homage in a joking manner, but I appreciate that. Number two, Norm MacDonald is also one of my greatest comedic influences ever. And I think... the reason why you and I ever worked is we have that sort of same Norm MacDonald level appreciation for dumb things, irreverent things, one might say. But I don't think anyone could do a podcast with you, especially. I'll admit you're a bigger Norm fan than I, if you weren't a fan of Norm. Because you go out of your way to make dumb jokes the way Norm would. And so if you don't have an appreciation for that type of humor... I don't even think people could have a conversation with you.
I think we had a 4 or 5 episode span, and it was inspired by Norm. And we even said we're ripping off the Norm MacDonald podcast, and we just told jokes. And they were all terrible jokes, and they were written by me. No one else would have liked them besides you, but you did.
Yeah, we have a little bit. I like to think of us a little bit as like a Norm and Conan, because half the time I'm reacting to the shit you say the way Conan does to Norm.
Yeah, and I think that's maybe my favorite part of those interviews with Norm and Conan is Conan's reaction and just be like, let's move this along. Every time that he's like, we need to go to commercial break soon, please hurry up. That always kills me.
Right. And then the best part is Conan's always rushing him through, and even still, Norm will still get him. He'll still get a hearty laugh at the end of it, which is the absolute best. And I think Norm, too, and I was trying to find a good comparison for this, a good simile. I almost look at him the way I view Seinfeld. When I was 10 years old, Seinfeld wasn't funny to me. I didn't understand it. When I was 10 years old, Norm MacDonald wasn't funny to me, at least his stand-up.
Yeah.
You know, the Turd Ferguson stuff, of course. But then you get to a certain age where you start to appreciate the comedy of, say, Seinfeld. And the same thing happens with Norm. And then you go back and go through all of his stand-up, all of his SNL stuff, and it's fucking incredible.
Yeah, because I grew up... when SNL was on Comedy Central and they would just play it like 20 hours a day and they were always playing the same seasons over and over and over again. It was from 88 until like 94. So you get a ton of that cast and a ton of Kevin Nealon and Norm MacDonald as the Weekend Update people. And when you're younger, you don't always appreciate Weekend Update because you're not up to date with the news.
Right.
But what Norm did is he would tell jokes. He would know that they were funny. And he would say, if the audience doesn't get it, I don't care. And I'm going to stare at you until you get it.
Some of his greatness came when the audience wouldn't react, right? That's not the LOL moments. It's him just letting the dead air stay there. Then it comes back around.
So before we go any further, Mac, sadly, why are we doing this episode?
Yeah, unfortunately, the great Norm MacDonald died the other day at the age of 61. apparently he had a bout with cancer that lasted 9 years that we were not privy to.
Mm-hmm.
I think there were some signs of it if you saw the way his body had sort of changed over the last decade. And I think, and this is just new to me now, I have started listening to his memoir that came out in 2016.
Yeah.
There are some signs there.
That he was that prepping like, people for it and that he knew it was going to happen. There's
some themes that it sounds like he's prepping for himself to leave this earth. So I think there were definitely some clues there, but most people were unaware that Norm was on his way out. And so it's unfortunate because he truly is one of the greatest comedic minds of all time. But I think it's the most Norm thing ever that he loses his battle to cancer, quote unquote loses. And he's already got a quote built in for it. He said, "I'm pretty sure, now I'm not a doctor, but I'm pretty sure if you die, the cancer also dies at the exact same time."
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's not a loss, that's a draw. And so it's through that lens that Norm always viewed the world, right? And that's what makes the greatest comedians the best, is they're viewing the world through a completely different lens. They're seeing things that you and I don't see, we don't pick up on. And that's just a small little tidbit of what Norm was.
Norm also had a joke where someone said to him, "What are you going to say on your deathbed?" And he said, "Why did I buy a deathbed?" One good thing about this, because I will say that when I found out the news, I actually did need a minute to kind of compose myself. And generally, celebrity deaths don't really do anything for me. Obviously, Chadwick Boseman was a very tough one. But this one hit me in a very similar way because I didn't see it coming. And I was like, oh my God, because he was supposed to be in Boston, I think, in 2 weeks. I actually didn't buy tickets this time. I've seen him 3 or 4 times. I love seeing him live, even though he does the same set almost every single time. It's just so good. And seeing him live and how he just weaves in and out of jokes and meanders on the stage and he finds a way to like get to that punchline. I love seeing him live.
Yeah, you and I went together, in 2016, maybe, mm-hmm. I think?
Yeah.
Probably right around the time that his book came out. It was great. He's always great. But to me, the best part, and this is maybe the other, like the subculture of Norm Macdonald, is, and I was talking to my cousin about this the other day. Me and my cousin, my dad, and my uncles have this group chat. But Norm is one of those guys that if you find out someone likes him, you are immediately friends with that person.
Yep.
It's just one of those things. So you and I were at his show at the Wilbur about 5 years ago, and there was a couple on a date like 5 feet away from us. Mm-hmm. And the girl did not understand, was not operating on the same level as the guy nor Norm, and she was having a miserable time. But I couldn't think of a worse, I mean, it's a good litmus test, I guess.
Yeah.
But a first date or even a second date at a Norm Macdonald show, that's a no-go.
So the last time that I saw him, actually, a ticket opened up and I was like, "Hey, my wife, do you want to come and see him?" And she's like, "Yeah." And then after the show, in which she didn't really laugh, but that's fine, she said to me, "I understand why you like him." And I'm like, okay. She at least gets me.
You mentioned
that the text with your father, your uncle, your cousin, that if you find out that someone likes Norm, then you kind of have like a bond with them.
Yeah.
And the one good thing that has come from the death is the outpouring of support and love that he has gotten on social media, where everyone is sharing every last video of him. And I have loved that. I have found that to be amazing.
Yeah. And this is what, as a sort of crossover act, this is the impact he had, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he had a great career as a stand-up, which then turned into a great career basically as a late-night guest, because he didn't have too many specials in the last 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They were earlier. I mean, he had a couple, but it turned into a great career as a late-night guest on Conan and on Letterman, and he also had some minor movie roles. So, you know, separate from stand-up, separate from those roles, he's probably most well-known for SNL Weekend Update. So that's a whole other section of people that he affected. So if you're talking comedy, you know, stand up, SNL, movies, he did it all, and he did it all really, really well.
Yep. And he says in his memoir, which you'll talk about in a second, that as long as SNL is on and alive, he'll be alive.
Right. Right. It's one of the opening parts of his memoir. And again, we'll get there in a second, but his memoir is such a Norm thing because 90% of the time, and I'm listening to it audiobook, which he, by the way, he narrates, so it's even better. You don't know what's true and what's not because he's just, you just can't tell. You can't tell.
So Mac, the book is called True Story, a Memoir, or I'm sorry, Based on a True Story, a Memoir. And I have not gotten around to it, but you have dug into the audiobook version of it because we don't know how to read.
Yeah.
What's the dealio?
First of all, it's short. It came out in 2016. So about halfway through At that point, he was probably writing it. He probably started writing it when he was diagnosed, now that we're thinking back. So if he had had cancer for 9 years, that's 2012. Book came out 2016. I bet he started writing it when he was diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. But I digress. It's only about 240, 250 pages, so it's short. It's just over 8 hours of audio if you're looking for the audiobook, which is what I'm listening to. I think I'm about 4 hours through right now. And like I had alluded to above, there really is some underlying themes of life and where he got to be and how thankful he is. And how it's a good overview of his career and him having some, he'll step back a couple times and sort of take it all in. But that said, it's the most norm thing there is, because it is a memoir and it is based on a true story. So there's a lot of tidbits about how he came to be, where, you know, growing up in rural Canada and whatnot. But then he also is just telling stories with some themes from his life mm-hmm. that are just completely made up. So he tells this great story about how when he got hired on SNL, it was the same season as Jay Moore, Sarah Silverman, and David Tell's first season as a writer.
What a crop.
Yeah. And none of this happened, but he tells this story in here, how madly in love he was with Sarah Silverman, which is probably true. And he tells this
every
story,
stand-up was.
Yeah. And she dated David Tell way back when. And he tells a story about how madly in love he was. So he does this murder for hire plot to kill David Tell. That way Sarah Silverman would sleep with him. And then he gets arrested. He goes to jail. And it's a whole chapter. It's fucking ludicrous. But it's just describing sort of the themes that was going on then. He also talks about, and he does a good job. So the book is, it starts current times. So let's say 2012, 2014, whatever he's writing it. He's with Adam Egit. They're on their way to Vegas. And on the way to Vegas, he starts telling the story, the memoir. Mm-hmm. And it jumps back to his childhood. It jumps back to all the seminal moments in his career. So it's almost like a threefold timeline. It's sort of confusing to follow at first, but once you get what he's doing, you're good to go. He talks a lot about morphine use in this. And I wonder, thinking back now, he must be prescribed morphine for the cancer, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, which you may not have known if you read this in 2016. He talks a lot about his gambling addiction, because eventually he stops drugs, he stops alcohol, but he's still an absolute gambling addict. Couldn't help himself but to gamble all his money away, basically. And then each and every chapter, Adam Egit's involved usually in some way, shape, or form. And he absolutely buries Egit in every single chapter, the way he would on Norm Live. Egit becomes an absolute punching bag, which is the best part about Adam Egit.
So we'll get to his podcast in a second, but my favorite thing with Adam Egit on his podcast is that Norm would make Adam Egit ask every guest how they think of their material. And every single time, and there's a super cut out there, they're like, what are you talking about?
So I think my three favorite things from the memoir so far is he keeps talking about how his best joke is this answering machine bit, which is like the first joke he ever wrote, but no one ever laughs at it, but it's his best bit. He also tells a great story, and this actually is true. He opened up for Sam Kinison early in his stand-up career right before Kinison took off. So he had a nice relationship with Kinison. Then he has this excerpt about Rodney Dangerfield. That's maybe the funniest thing I've read or heard in the last 5 years. It's fucking incredible. It plays into what Dangerfield does, and the spin that Norm puts on it is the most Norm thing you've ever heard. And then he also tells a story in there about how he accidentally turned down a Carson appearance because he thought it was a joke, and ultimately he gets his first break on Late Night on Letterman. I don't know how true that is, but that's a funny story. And then, of course, he gets into some of the SNL stuff and how he first met Farley, and that's all great, too. So
he told a story on Letterman that during either his first or second season on SNL, Bill Cosby was the host. And he told him, like, hey, I got into comedy because me and my dad would watch your stand-ups. And then Bill Cosby said, oh, I'm going to be in Canada in 2 weeks. Let me get his phone number, and he can be my special guest. And then Norm gave him a phone number but knew that his father was dead. And he didn't have the heart to tell Bill Cosby. Jesus. So 2 weeks later, Bill Cosby calls him. And he's like, hey, your father's not answering.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of SNL, his early SNL days.
Yeah.
Him and a lot of the young SNL talent were living in the same building because it was close to 30 Rock and it was easy. And the building had a doorman. And I forget the name of the doorman. But the doorman loved Sandler. And so his first time passing the doorman, Sandler's like, hey, this guy's also going to be on the show. So then the guy, you know, liked Norm. And then every Saturday night, he'd look for Norm wasn't there. And finally, Norm's first sketch is a Star Trek sketch. And the only line he says the whole show, the whole sketch, is "Beam me up, Scotty." So the next morning, the door guy sees him. He goes, "Hey, beam me up, Scotty." And then that's what the guy called him for years. And so then a couple of months later, the doorman's friend is outside. He's talking to him. And he goes, "Hey, beam me up, Scotty." He's like, "Oh, you know who this guy is, right? Beam me up, Scotty." And the guy's like, and he's like, "Norm, do it, do it, do it, do it." And he goes, "Beam me up, Scotty." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I know you."
Seth Meyers was talking about Norm the other night. And he said that Norm came to visit like early 2000s, and it was right after he had had his kid. And someone said, "Hey, how's your kid?" And Norm goes, "Going great so far. Hasn't been abducted yet."
There's a clip out there of Norm absolutely burying Seth Meyers too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think he cared for Seth Meyers, but Seth Meyers loved Norm.
I think Norm said this because Norm's son, whenever he would watch Seth Meyers do Weekend Update, he would say, "Oh, Dad, you sound a lot like Seth Meyers." When in fact, Seth Meyers was kind of, he wasn't ripping off Norm, but once you see Norm do jokes, you kind of pick up on that pattern.
Well, he almost set the format for what Weekend Update has become. Mm-hmm. That sort of dry delivery where you say something, let it breathe, and then you come in with a punchline, which was Norm's style, but that's what Weekend Update became. And everyone since Norm has been compared to Norm, and no one's ever going to be as good as him. But like right afterwards, what is Colin Quinn, right? And Colin Quinn was fine, but he was a worse version of Norm.
You guessed it, Frank Stallone. By the way, there are supercuts of, you guessed it, Frank Stallone's, all of his OJ jokes, and just giant compilations of his jokes on Weekend Update, and they're all fantastic.
Yeah. There was a whole segment of the internet too that was talking about they never even knew Sylvester Stallone had a brother until Norm, because he would talk about Frank Stallone so much.
So we'll actually get into SNL right now, but before we do that, he wrote two episodes by himself for Roseanne, which is pretty cool because that set him up with a really cool ally to have early on in your career. We all know what happened to her as she went on, but he was a writer on there for two or three seasons. He ended up on SNL, like you said, in that really good opening cast.
Was it 92 was his first year at SNL? Is that
93, 92? I don't know. So it was one of those, but he became the Weekend Update guy in 94.
Yeah, okay.
And he was there for 2.5 years.
And he has this interesting path because he's doing stand-up in the early 80s with a lot of guys that become uber famous, but he never really makes that leap. But because he's such a comedian's comedian, all these guys are vouching for him all the way through. And he never gets his break. I think he's on Letterman in 91 or something like that.
Yeah.
Right before he's on SNL. So it takes him a really long time to break through. And then, of course, when he gets to SNL the next year, he's the Weekend Update guy. And then he's just shot to the moon. You know, all your Norm stock went through the roof.
And, of course, besides Weekend Update, he is very well known for...
That's not my name.
Okay. Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, what do you want?
You buzzed in. Yeah, that's your opinion.
He actually tells a story in the memoir, too, about his interview with Lauren, how he went in there, and because Sandler and Spade had vouched for him, he thought it was like a foregone thing that he had the job. So he meets with Lauren. He said he has this great conversations with Lauren, and then Lauren's like, "All right, we're going to go down the stairs, and you're going to do a couple characters." And Norm's like, I don't have any characters. And then he's like, Lauren's like, "All right, we'll get back to you then." And then he comes up with a character on the spot, you know, the only way Norm would. So that's just funny.
Mr. Reynolds, what are you doing?
Yeah, I found this backstage, oversized hat. It's funny.
No, it's not.
Sure it is. It's funny. It's funny because it's bigger than a normal hat.
So not only did he play Burt Reynolds on Celebrity Jeopardy on SNL, he also appeared, I think, in two or three episodes of My Name is Earl. And he played Burt Reynolds' son doing the impression of Burt Reynolds.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And I'm trying to think back. I was thinking about this right before we went live. And I meant to ask you, but I guess we could talk about it now. I think the first time I ever recognized Norm as Norm was probably this sketch. Mm-hmm. I had obviously seen him in Billy Madison, but I didn't really know who Norm MacDonald was then. And then I think this is right around that same time. What's this, 96, 97, that he's doing this Celebrity Jeopardy with Will Ferrell, which is one of the funniest sketches they've ever done. And then that's sort of what I alluded to earlier. Like, I didn't know who he was as a stand-up until way later. But then you go back, and it's just absolute gold.
And then you also have him doing Larry King and Bob Dole, and both of those guys loved the impression. Yeah. And even with Norm's death, and who would have thought this? Bob Dole outlived Norm Macdonald.
Insane. Bob Dole looked like he was 90 in 1990.
Bob Dole tweeted, "Love the impression. Bob Dole loves Norm Macdonald."
I mean, Larry King's another one that, yeah, you know, he makes fun of, and Larry took it in stride, and then he ended up going on Larry's show a couple times. Larry has a great interview out there with Norm, and then Larry went on Norm's Netflix show. They just had a nice, they loved each other, really. They loved each other's look on everything.
I prefer horizontal blinds, but I also like vertical ones too. That's one of Norm's, Larry King's right there. But I think even more famous than Norm being on SNL was him being fired from SNL.
Right, and he's touched upon that in the memoir a little bit, but I don't know if he's going to get into it further. But it almost seems like it wasn't a Lorne decision.
No.
Because Norm is so funny and is so good at Weekend Update. I don't see why Lorne would let him go. I think it was the network sick of his shit, really.
So hearsay, and it's usually what Norm says, it's what Letterman said, it's what a lot of these guys said, is it was Bob Olmeyer, who was the head of the West Coast division of NBC. He was friends with OJ, and he told Norm several times, don't tell OJ jokes. And then Norm just kept on doing it. You can find the 17-minute compilation of OJ jokes on YouTube. And then Norm
the
gets fired.
Still, that first week after... after OJ is found innocent. And by the way, that innocent finding, I can't even think of the word right now, divided the nation along a racial line.
Mm-hmm.
Norm opens Weekend Update with breaking news. California has ruled murder. Is
like California has murder legalized people. Murder.
Yeah, legalized murder. That's what it was.
He also told one, he's like, OJ said this week that he would have taken a bullet or stood in front of a train for Nicole. It's always the worst that someone that would have saved your life also ended it. So Norm got told the reason why he was fired is because he was not funny. But a year and a half later, he was asked to host the show, and he gave one of the greatest monologues of all time.
It was inexplicable to me because a year and a half, let's face it, is not enough time for a dude to learn how to be funny. Then it occurred to me, I haven't gotten funnier. The show has gotten really bad. So, yeah, I'm funny compared to, you know, well, you'll see later. But... okay, so let's recap. The bad news is, I'm still not funny. The good news is, the show blows. All right, folks, we got a bad show for you tonight. Dr. Dre, Snoop Doggy Dogg, and Eminem are here. We'll be right back.
So then after that monologue, I believe he was featured in a Celebrity Jeopardy and then one pre-tape sketch, and that was it. But the pre-tape sketch is one of my favorite Norm jokes of all time, and it is the Lou Gehrig, I consider myself the greatest, or what is it?
I consider the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
I was being sarcastic. I'm unlucky. I may be the unluckiest man on the face of the earth. I have a disease so rare they named it after me. Yeah, lucky me.
He is the only person that could have delivered those lines.
Yeah, and I know there are obviously some people that don't love him the way we do.
Yeah.
But I think even those people will admit, and this is with the best comedians, the quality they have, they do not care about what's going on economically, socially. They're going to tell the joke because it's funny.
Yeah.
They don't care who it offends. They're going to tell the joke because it's funny. And Norm was great at that. Carlin was great at that. All the Chappelle's great at that now. Burr. All those guys just stand in the face of that bullshit. They don't care about the criticism. If they think it's funny, they're going to tell the joke.
Also, credit to Norm. He has done his podcast and his Netflix show over the past 4 years. And not really any politics, no presidential stuff. So all of his stuff is going to date extremely well.
Yeah, and I was actually thinking about this a couple months ago. I think his The Norm Show on Netflix came out in 2018, and they never made a second season. I was sort of wondering like why that was, and I guess he probably got pretty bad the last couple of years because we haven't seen him much. He hadn't been tweeting much, so I guess that's the reason why. But I'm glad that we had, because if you think back before, I mean, he had the Norm Macdonald podcast, but if you think back before the Netflix show, he hadn't had any like video stuff that was his on a platform. So I'm glad we have that forever now. 10 episodes of laugh out loud funny stuff with like 10 dynamically different guests.
Yeah.
Every guest is more different than the last, which is
And
awesome.
What sucks is that his podcast is no longer on Apple Podcasts. I would love for someone to put those back up. I think there's three seasons. So there's like 30 to 40 episodes. You can find a lot of the clips on YouTube, which is awesome. And I recommend that you watch on YouTube, specifically watch the one with him and Super Dave. Because like Mac and I can't say anything that they said back and forth.
It's so
it's
good.
It's unbelievable the reaction that Super Dave has to Norm's jokes.
Yeah, it's and he stays in character too, Super Dave. It's fucking great. It's so good.
You wrote those? No, I'm reading them.
And if you look up the compilation of people asking him who wrote the jokes, he never says it. He's like, I don't know, just mumbles.
So Norm was in Billy Madison with Adam Sandler, you know, bit player in that, but he has some really funny lines.
That might have been the first time a lot of people had seen him, at least our generation, was Billy Madison. So I think that's how a lot of people would have recognized him.
And then we get into, I think, my favorite version of Norm Macdonald, and that is when he's on the Conan O'Brien podcast. Not a podcast, the Late Night with Conan O'Brien.
Yeah.
And this stuff, the back and forth between these two extremely funny comedians. And what's great about both of them is that they're both willing to get really stupid.
Yeah.
But they're also both so quick and so sharp. So this next clip is a 1 minute cut down from a 4 minute interview where Conan is interviewing Courtney Thorne Smith.
She's on Party of Five. She's got an upcoming movie with
Melrose Place.
Melrose Place. That's right. She's on Melrose Place, immensely popular television show. And she's got a new movie coming out with Carrot Top.
Yes, and Norm says to her, you're leaving Melrose Place to do a movie with Carrot Top?
You are making a movie with Carrot Top, right?
I made a movie with Carrot Top.
You and him embrace?
Yeah, lots of making out.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's like 9.5 weeks, but Carrot Top. We were doing.
Is it called 9.5 seconds? Fucking premature ejaculator.
But what's the movie going to be called? Really?
I know what it's going to be called.
Yeah, what's that?
If it's got Carrot Top in it, you know what a good name for it would be?
What's that, Norm?
Box Office Poison.
All right, well, there's this 2-hour season finale of Melrose Place. There's this movie coming out.
Yes.
Title undetermined at this point.
Chairman of the Board.
Oh, all right. Do something with that, you freak.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
And that absolutely killed Conan. He went into like a frenzy of slamming his desk, running around the desk. It was like someone had just won the NBA slam dunk competition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I love Conan plays such a good straight man for him, throws him up these softballs. But you see Conan's genuine reactions to all of Norm's jokes, because he's trying not to break that straight man character, and he always breaks, which is kind of what I was talking about earlier. But how good is it that Norm, who grew up idolizing guys like Letterman, is able to go on Letterman, make Letterman laugh in stitches in a different way than when he makes Conan laugh, right? He has that flexibility to go back and forth. And one of the writers on Twitter called him this bridge, sort of, and this gap from Letterman to Conan that I think, you know, in our day and age, like we grew up, no one really liked Letterman. He was too old. It was too highbrow for us. We all sort of liked Conan.
Yeah.
And then when you connect that to Norm and you find that, you know, see connection to Letterman, you have a new appreciation for what Letterman was and what Letterman did.
Yeah. And speaking of Norm and Conan, when looking at, say, my comedic inspirations, those two are at the top. And I think it's those two and then everybody else. Because I want to say Mount Rushmore-wise, you might go with Will Ferrell, obviously SNL in all of his movies, and then a guy like Jason Mantzoukas, who I think, you know, he goes on tons of podcasts, his interviewing. It's similar to a Norm, where he's such a great conversationalist.
Yeah, and I can vouch for this, too, because I still recall freshman football. You played for like 10 minutes. You scored a touchdown in practice.
No. I sacked the inflatable quarterback.
Is that what it was? You got up and did the Norm mannequin dance.
Conan string dance.
All right, Conan, yeah. And they cut it off. Which, like, even at 13, we liked Conan, but I didn't realize anyone loved Conan the way you did. You were like the girl in what's that fucking terrible 90s movie with the four girls, four cheerleaders that rob things, and she had the Conan tattoo on her ass. Sweet and spicy.
Someone help us out.
Spicy and sweet, something like that.
Barbecue sauce. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you and that chick, biggest Conan fans.
Yeah.
I think that's a good list. Like, for me, if you're talking just stand-ups, it's probably Carlin, Norm, Chappelle, and Burr.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk like crossovers, I got to get Ferrell in there.
Yeah.
Maybe over Norm, but he's top four or five for me pretty easily, too. There's like a drop-off after that.
And then I would say Sandler, too. Sandler's always been great. He, you know, came up right around our time to really love his movies, too. And then also on Conan, he tells Norm, of course, tells one of the greatest jokes. And this has been circulating everywhere over the past couple days. And the joke in general, no one else could do this. No one else. Norm goes on there and says that he got a ride to the studio. Thank you for getting me a ride, Conan. And my driver told me a joke. And then he goes into...
Do you have the supercut of this, or do you want to talk about
it? No. So I'll just talk about it.
All right, so then, let me set this up before we get into it. So he years later does an interview. I don't know if it's with Conan or with Larry King, and they ask him about the joke.
Yeah,
and he says, "I was actually told this joke by Colin Quinn."
Okay,
Colin Quinn's joke is 15 seconds long, with the same setup, same punchline.
Yeah,
but to make it a Norm joke, he adds that 4-minute interlude, and it makes it so.
It is a 4-minute interlude of him just going all over the place,
Gregory
trying to
Ilinovich.
Pronounce all of these Russian names. And I'm almost convinced, and I mean, this might have been planned out ahead of time, but Conan stops him maybe 3 minutes, and he's like, "Where is this going?"
Yeah,
that if he didn't do that, Norm would have went on for 20 minutes.
Well, in that same interview, he said, so he was only booked for one segment that night.
Yeah.
And I think the late night segment's 6 or 7 minutes. And he says, Conan goes to break and we'll be right back with more Norm. So he didn't have any material. He had no material. So he thinks of that joke that Colin Quinn tells him.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I'm just going to make this a 6 or 7 minute joke, which is why Conan butts in halfway through or 2/3 of the way through. He's like, where is this going? Norm was literally trying to fill 7 minutes with that mouth joke.
I no longer love my son because I can see my own cowardice in his eyes. The same cowardice that when I reach over to the bedroom table and reach for the gun and put that cold steel in my mouth, I can't pull the trigger.
The doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And then the Moth said, because the light was on.
The best is during that joke, too. Conan interrupts like probably 3 or 4 times. And I like that Norm just lets him interrupt and say his thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then goes right back to
just
the joke.
Just right back into it.
Acknowledge him.
Every single time.
It's so good. Such a good joke. Like the joke, the bare bones of the joke that Colin Quinn told him is funny.
Yeah.
It is way funnier when everything in between didn't mean anything, meant absolutely
zero,
nothing.
Meant absolutely nothing. Conan also had an awesome tweet for Norm about Norm when Norm passed, and also David Letterman did as well.
Yeah, and as I said, it's funny because Conan and Letterman are two completely different types of comedians, but they share that love for Norm because Norm made everybody laugh. It didn't matter who you were, Norm was going to make you laugh. And I also really loved his appreciation for both of those guys, you know, especially, you know, he obviously did Letterman's last stand-up guest.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see later in his career because you never saw Norm kind of pull back, you know, the curtain a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when he cries on Letterman, it's moving. Mm-hmm. It's emotional.
Then we get to the ESPYs. I don't have any cuts here because a lot of the stuff I don't want to play, but his ESPY set, his 8-minute ESPY set is the stuff of legends, and he was banned from going back after. I did have a clip that I'm not going to play. I can't find it. But it's when he tells Charles Woodson that no one can take your Heisman away unless you murder your wife and a waiter. And then it flashes to Ken Griffey Jr., who is just befuddled that he would say that.
Yeah, he's like, I can't believe this man is saying that.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because he uses Charles Woodson for an OJ joke.
Yes.
You don't think an OJ joke is coming. Charles Woodson is fresh off winning the Heisman, beats Peyton Manning, beats Ryan Leaf, beats Randy Moss, one of the greatest college football players of all time. But he just uses that merely as an OJ setup, which is so good.
And actually, almost even funnier, he does a segment with Will Ferrell later, and Will Ferrell is Harry Carey, and they do a joke about John Elway's teeth. Good stuff, too. Let's go on to Dirty Work, one of my favorite, most unappreciated movies of all time. This movie is so funny, and it's completely Norm. And it might have one of my favorite lines that I say all the time and no one has any idea what I'm talking about. And that's, hello, real cops?
The whole movie sort of runs like a Norm stand-up.
Yes.
You know, the way he presents the jokes, the way it all plays out. And that's sort of like, if you like Dirty Work, you're going to love his memoir because it's the same thing. It's sort of these mysticism ideas in Norm put to paper, and especially the audiobook, he's reading it. So it's the delivery he intended on it as well. And it's just so good.
It's the disrespect that hurts the most, besides the other thing, but the disrespect. And of course, Dirty Work was directed by Bob Saget. And then Norm is asked to do the roast of Bob Saget, and Comedy Central tells him ahead of time, hey, don't go too far. So what Norm does is a 5-minute set of some of the funniest, how do you describe this?
What I've been told and what I read was, first of all, that Norm doesn't even really like roasts. It's like not his sort of thing.
Yeah.
But he does it because he loves Saget. But because he loves Saget, he doesn't actually want to roast him either. So he says, I think he does it under the guise of a joke book his father gave him from the 1930s.
Thank you. Yeah.
Which is so good. So it's all these jokes that probably in 1930 during the Great Depression were real knee slappers, but they're so terribly unfunny that they're fucking hysterical.
Jim Norton also says something to him during that roast, and he goes, oh wait, what? I'm sorry, I was reading Marmaduke. Watching Norm now is like watching Henry Fonda pick blueberries, and Norm goes, who among us would not want to watch Henry Fonda pick blueberries?
I think it's Norm's stand-up and jokes have this way of like having a rewatchability to them because they're funny. And then the more you understand about the setup and the joke, they just get funnier and funnier. The roast is a perfect example of it. The ESPYs are a great example of it. Like the great rewatchability, and not all comedians have that. Some of their jokes, the first time it's super funny, the 80th time it's not as funny. It's almost the opposite for Norm. They get funnier and funnier.
No, there are times when Bob has something on his mind when he wears a hat. But no thoughts at all, just a hat.
The delivery, but he wears a hat.
Also, another great thing, and if you can find the full supercut of this, Norm went on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it was for charity, and I think he actually won like $500,000.
He did really well, yeah.
But the back and forth between him and Regis the whole time is amazing.
Yeah, because Regis is actually very quick-witted.
Yeah.
No one really talks about it, but Regis was always great.
Talk show host for 30 years, obviously. Right. Yeah, great with the banter.
The bant, as the Brits call it.
Norm also had a sitcom that ran 3 seasons on ABC, done by the same people that did the Drew Carey Show, so it has like a similar tone to it. But it's actually a really funny show.
I don't know if I've ever seen an episode of that show, if I'm being honest. I know it existed. I know it was aired. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever actually seen a show.
So lucky for you, I have the complete series on DVD.
Wow, look at that.
Yes.
Is it? It's got to be streamable somewhere.
I don't think so right now, no.
Really?
So it's created by Norm. It stars him, Laurie Metcalf, Artie Lang pops up in season 2, Ian Gomez, who's pretty funny, and then also, what is the father's name from Alf?
I don't know.
So he joins in the second season, and it's Norm just trying to piss him off, and then him overreacting to Norm.
And they got to 54 episodes, so that's pretty good accomplishment for someone that the networks or the higher ups don't really like, right? And that's sort of what he was battling with his whole career. All the comedians, all the people that make people laugh, love him. The people that make decisions hate him, absolutely hate him, because he doesn't care about those people.
And then he had a couple shows on Comedy Central. One of them was a sports show that it was okay, but he created a segment in there that I still quote too, which is, wait, what? That was the name of the segment.
What?
Wait, what? And then finally, over the past decade or so, it's been the Norm Macdonald podcast, Norm Macdonald Live. I absolutely love this podcast. Appointment listening every single time. Within the first hour that it was out, I had to listen to it.
Yeah, and in this podcast, his number two, his producer, his sidekick is Adam Egan, who no one really knows from a hole in the wall. But and he tells his story in the memoir. Again, I don't know how true it is. I mean, this part isn't. He says he has a line in there about he pulled Adam Egan out from under a bridge where he was given $15 hand jobs.
Yeah.
He plucked Adam Egan to be his assistant when he first got hired on SNL. So him and Adam Egan have been together for 25 years. So they have an understanding. And then Adam Egan went on as Norm, you know, leaves SNL and goes another path. Adam Egan was running the Comedy Store in LA for a really long time. I don't know if he still is. So Adam Egan's another guy that a lot of comedians know, but you wouldn't know Adam Egan as a comedian in and of himself. But if you watch back and forth on the Norm Show or listen to Norm's podcast, he's not as funny as Norm, but he knows the jokes and he plays such a good part in all of Norm's humor.
He's so good at setting Norm up, and that's his only job, and he knows exactly what to do with it.
And it's so good. And then like you alluded to at the top, Norm having him read jokes and then Norm having him ask other celebrities things is always funny.
Yeah. So the way that the show worked, it was, you know, a little cold open. You guys know what that is. We do it every single week. Then, you know, him and Adam would talk about a couple, you know, current affairs, even though it'd be from like 30 years ago. So then you get into the guest, and Norm's interviews with the guests are outrageous and they're so good.
Yeah. And this is more with the Netflix show, but you sort of start to understand that Norm's actually an incredibly bright guy. He's really well-read. He loves movies. I mean, in the M. Night Shyamalan episode on Netflix, Shyamalan asked him, he's like, are you secretly a cinephile? And Norm's like, well, you know, I love movies, but he's like, I haven't seen a lot of movies. But the movies that I love, I've seen 1,000 times. I know everything about the movies.
Yeah.
So he's really just a guy like Letterman is, right? Letterman grew up as a comic, but he's really so well-versed in all of these things. So when he interviews people from a whole nother world and know a whole other art, he actually knows what he's talking about. And Norm had a lot of that in him, I think, because Norm idolized Letterman so much.
Norm would also end every episode with about 10 minutes of jokes that someone else wrote.
Yeah.
And just go and watch these supercuts. These jokes are amazing. So these are so funny.
Good. And that Netflix show, if you're looking for, if you don't want to do an hour and a half podcast or whatever, I think the Netflix episodes are only
about
like
a half hour. Yeah.
Yeah, 23 minutes or something. So they're super easy watches.
He also had a sponsorship with the Man Grate that eventually got pulled.
Because they made fun of it so much.
And these sponsorships were so funny. And he couldn't say the word iron.
Yeah, iron.
Iron. Are you doing a bit right now? What do you mean? You're saying iron.
And then he's like, get off my ass. Don't be like Larry King.
And Larry King goes, some people say that the English language is the toughest language there is. And Norm goes, I think it's the easiest because he speaks it.
Oh man. Let's
get into Maxack. And Maxack could be anything. This week it is sponsored by Man Grate.
This was just merely a glimpse into the life and times of Norm. We wanted to do this because we appreciate him so much. He molded our views on comedy in the world so much. So we're thankful to Norm. You know, there's some things we didn't get a chance to talk about. One thing I just discovered this week, thank you to Twitter, was him bringing that gift basket to Conan.
Yes.
When he was actually getting fired, the congratulations basket. Mm-hmm. Fucking hysterical. But I think if you like Norm at all, you know, watch Dirty Work. You know, go listen to his podcast if you can find it. Watch the Netflix show. But I think if you really want an understanding of who he is and how he came to be, read the memoir. Listen to the memoir.
I would say to watch everything with Conan. I think those two together are comedy gold. And Then I just forgot what I was going to say. Just find anything. Just go anywhere and find anything with him. Just Google
Super
Norm
Dave
Macdonald.
Episode
oh, you know what you want to do? No, he was on an episode of The Daily Show where Jon Stewart asked him a question, and then Norm got into how the crocodile hunter dying at 42 is actually a ripe age for a crocodile hunter.
That's right.
And it's a 2-minute bit about how, who actually got him? It was a stingray. Billy, didn't you try to get him a couple times? It's the crocodiles talking back and forth. It's pretty good.
He also had the bit about 10 years ago, I think right before he was diagnosed with cancer, which I alluded to above with the it's not a loss, it's a draw. He talks about it's like a 6-minute joke talking about how people used to lose their battle, you know, and die. And that's a great bit as well.
Mac, where can you find us?
You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Mac and Goo Podcast. On every other platform, we are Mac ampersand Goo. It's Mac, Shift-7 on your keyboard, Goo. That includes Facebook, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, Spreaker, Google Play, iHeartRadio. We're also on Spotify, but more importantly, we are on Apple Podcasts. If you get on Apple Podcasts, rate us, review us, subscribe to us, 5 stars. We're going to get you a free T-shirt from the folks over at Watertown Sportswear. That's Watertown Sportswear on 34 Auburn Street in Watertown. The website is watertownsportswear.com, Watertown Sportswear, expert screen printing and embroidery.
tpublic.com,
merch.
Go ahead and check out the I Think You Should Leave store that Billy and I have. That's Chunky, exclamation point. And guess what? We got some new stuff coming up this weekend or early next week. So keep on sending yo dollar bills this way. We don't know what we're going to do next week. We'll do a dump early in the week, and then we'll figure it out after that.
And don't forget, folks, we're going to be back at in a couple of weeks, about a week and a half.
Speaking of Norm, 90s television trivia.
Yeah, I think it's Wednesday, September 25th. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Idle Hands, Craft Ales.
22nd.
Commercial Street.
22nd? Yeah, 22nd.
I don't know.
It's this next Wednesday,
this next
the 22nd.
Week? All right. 22nd, 90s television shows. If you watched one episode of a television in the 90s, of a TV show in the 90s, you're qualified.
If you owned a television in the 90s, that's what we're talking about. Panasonic, yes. Samsung.
Zenith.
My grandfather had a Zenith TV in his den, and then one of my cousins put a magnet up against it and then like put a big circle on it.
That ain't going to work.
And then he never trusted us ever again.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. So, Tuesdays or Goosdays, I abuse kangaroos.
Bye.
The doctor says, Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here? And then the moth said, because the light was on.
Please flip the cassette over to side B to continue the adventure.
All right, Mac, final thought, and I will take this one. We were sent in a joke from one of our Mac and Goovy writers.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Sure. Goose got index cards.
Wesley, can you read this joke?
I always wanted to be an animal cop, but I couldn't figure out how to get handcuffs on a cat.
Falling down an escalator gets repetitive. Mac, there's a joke here for you.
Oh, I get one as well.
That's a long one.
Remember those old commercials where an African child could live off just 2 cents a day? Really puts things into perspective. They eat pennies. Because the African kid eats the pennies, you know?
Yeah.
Topical humor. This is ripped right from the headlines.
All right.
It was announced that Apple is releasing the iPhone 8 and then jumping right to the iPhone 10. You see this, Mac?
I saw this. Yeah.
When asked why no iPhone 9, Apple CEO Tim Cook said in a frightened demeanor, it's because 7, 8, 9.
I'm so mad I didn't see that coming. God damn it. The writing was on the wall there. That is a great dad joke right there. That's phenomenal. I like that. I'm in on that joke.